Welcome to my daily teaching sessions. Hey, if you're new to my ministry, my name is Graham Jones, and I love Jesus. Also love people, and you know, I really have two calls, to preach the gospel to the lost, but also to preach the gospel to the found, and that includes myself. And I have learned that one of the things that makes my Christian life thrive, that enables me to do life well, is to constantly be preaching the gospel, the good news, what Jesus did on the cross, faith in that, the action of Holy Spirit, is preaching the gospel to myself. I need to keep hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel is not a one-time proposition or a one-time event. So again, I welcome you to my YouTube channel. I have several hundred videos here, sermons. I am an Anglo-American, I think I'm going to call myself. So I was born in the UK. I lived there for 22 years. I lived in France for 20 years. And I've now lived in America for about 10 years. And coming up to 10 years. And I'm just becoming American, so y'all. But I still have the British accent, actually. So welcome. Hey, a couple of practical things as well. If you're new to my YouTube channel, why not hit the subscribe button down there and give the bell symbol a long press. That way YouTube will let you know of future videos. I have a ministry website, gjm.org, with lots of information, events, media, podcasts, our email newsletter, lots of different things there. So check out those links below. And lastly, if you're interested, we have a weekly newsletter we send out just with thoughts, teachings, books I'm reading, videos, upcoming events. And I have a three-hour teaching we're giving away at the moment called The Secret Place, How to Live from the Secret Place. And I'd love to give that to you as a free gift when you sign up for our email newsletter. So again, check out the links in the show notes. Good. Well, if you have a Bible today, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I began yesterday talking about the care of our soul, how what God wants to do in our soul, what God wants to do with our soul, and how we live our soulish life well to the glory of God. Yeah, how does Jesus save our soul? You know, we talk about a soul came to Christ, saving our soul. What does it mean? What is a soul? And how does that relate to our spirit, to our body? What does God want to do with our soul? What does the enemy want to do with our soul? Are we a new creation in our soul? We're going to answer some of those questions today. And in the coming days, I'm going to be sharing just some thoughts about how we really practically really engage with these things and come to the place where we're living out our Christian life well to the glory of God. You know, it's not enough. And sadly, I know many people like this, and so probably do you. People who love God, who are born again, they're going to be with Christ for eternity, and yet they're living life here on the earth like a train wreck. They're just bound by habits, bound by reactions, bound by rejection. It's a massive one. Bound by insecurities. They have, if you will, all of these scripts running on the inside of them. And to some degree, they're the same person in the soul that they were before they came to Christ. They're connected with Jesus spiritually. But God wants to change us, not just our spirit, but our whole soul as well. So we're going to jump into that in a moment. Again, if you have a Bible, let me read 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want to read, where do I want to read from? Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 25. So verse 14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren," that's ladies too, "warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anybody, but pursue good, what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." This is how to live. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm going to carry on reading, but I can't tell you how many times people will say to me, "Graham, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? Does he want me to go to Africa or India or China? Who does he want me to marry? Shall I start a business? Shall I go in business? Shall I have kids? Shall I get married? What's God's will?" This is God's will. God's will is you rejoice forevermore. God's will is you pray without ceasing. God's will is in everything. Notice he didn't say for everything. God, I'm so thankful that my car broke down. No, in everything give thanks. God doesn't send those bad things. In one way, we're not thanking him for them, but we're thanking him in them. You don't thank God for the storm. You thank God in the storm. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he carries on. In verse 19, he says, do not quench the Spirit. There are two commandments in the New Testament concerning the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit and don't quench the Spirit. And in one sense, he's talking here about the life of a church. So he says, don't quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? Do not despise prophecies. Now, he's saying there are some prophecies that are frankly silly. They're not real. The people say silly things that aren't real. It's not wrong in a way if somebody gives you some crazy prophecy to say, come on, let's. But don't despise prophecy. Don't despise the concept, the prophecy, the fact that God speaks through his people. That's not something to be despised. He says, don't despise prophecies. But then in that context, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And in verse 23, it's where we're going. It says, now may the God of peace, the God of shalom, himself sanctify you completely. I like the Old King James. It says, sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, completely, entirely. May the God of peace, the God of shalom himself, sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the next verse. He who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. Now, so much I want to say, and I'm going to run out of time, so we'll probably continue on this, excuse me, on this same subject tomorrow. But let me begin here. You have a spirit, you are a soul, and you live in a body. Yeah, I would say you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let me try it that way. But we are spirit, soul, and body. Now again, this is not a salvation discussion. If you've called on the name of the Lord and repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, you're in. Okay, that's it. Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. So if even if you know nothing, the thief on the cross, he said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, that's it, buddy, you're in. You've made it. You've arrived. Yeah, in that sense. You don't need to understand everything. And yet, God wants us to understand things. And if we're going to do our Christian life well, it behooves us, it's incumbent upon us that we understand who we are, how we are, and how God wants to act and interact with who we are. So Paul says it here, that we are spirit, we're soul, and we're body. And I want to unpack those with you. What is our spirit? John 4 verse 24 says God is spirit. Some versions may say a spirit, but the A, if you look in the King James and the New King James, it's italicized. It was added there at the discretion of the translators to help the text flow. But God is spirit. That's who God is. Right now, Jesus has a body, if you will, but a body you have prepared for me, the psalmist said, in a way. But God, the spiritual realm is reality. This stuff we see around us, I'm in a beautiful log cabin today. It's great. I love it. But one day this will be dust. You know, all of these trees in this cabin came from a tiny acorn or whatever, a seed, and grew up. And one day, no matter how well the owner cares for this property, it will rot and go back to the earth from when it came, as our bodies will. But spiritual things are eternal things. And God is a spirit. And God made Adam and Eve differently than he made everything else in creation. It's interesting, every living thing God created, he created it from the environment in which, the environment it needs to sustain it. So God created the fish out of the sea. He created the plants out of the ground. And when God made man, God formed his body out of the dust of the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, made this perfect man, and yet the man was still dead. And the Bible says God breathed through his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And I want you to see that God is a spirit, and God made Adam, male and female, then he took the female out of the male. In Adam, the female and male were separated. In Christ, the second Adam, we're all put back together again. There's no male and female. Yeah, I don't start calling your wife brother. But so we are, Adam was created a spiritual being. So in a way, he could communicate. He was created in God's likeness. He wasn't a God. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he was a spiritual being that could commune with God, that can walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. And the Lord said to Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And the day Adam and Eve sinned, the bodies didn't die that day. They lived over 900 years. Okay, the soul didn't die that day. I want you to see that. They could still think. They could still have emotions. They could still make choices, even though the bandwidth of those choices were limited. They still were people. They still had a soul, but the spiritual part of them was dead. And all the way through the Old Testament, when you read your Bible, God is talking to people who are spiritually dead. Yeah, they're not in communion with God. And God talks to them literally by breaking into the five sense, see, smell, feel, taste, and touch physical world. He sends a prophet. He speaks through a donkey. He writes on the wall. He, you know, he speaks to them in those ways, but he's not communing with them spirit to spirit. Spiritually, they're dead. Now, what happens when we come to Christ? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I want you to really catch this today. I'll end with this and we'll continue tomorrow. But when you were born again, let's be specific. What part of you was born again? I was born again when I was age 14. And I hope I'm aging well, but my body is, you know, the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So our bodies are not born again when we're born again. And I want you to see this. At times people get a little fuzzy about this, but your soul is not born again. Your soul is really the meeting point of three things. I like to say your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your thoughts, your ability to think, both consciously and subconsciously, your emotions, your ability to feel, to experience, and your volition, your capacity to choose. I will do this, I will not do this. Choose, mind, will, and emotion. And that part of you did not get born again. So really important we see that. The part of you that got born again, that got made anew, was the part of you that died. Your spirit died in Adam and was made alive in Christ. Romans 8 verse 10 says the spirit is resurrected, is alive because of righteousness. And your spirit is a new creation. Your spirit was raised with Christ, is ascended with Christ. Your spirit's now in heavenly places. And I want you to see this. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is sinless. Your spirit is created in the likeness of God. Right now, your spirit is experiencing the full blaze of the love of the Father, of the joy of Jesus, the peace of heaven, the contentment, all everything Jesus gave up at Calvary, we received back in that spirit man. And it's important we get this, that our challenge isn't to improve our spirit. You can't improve your spirit. Your spirit's one in Jesus. Adam had a separate spirit, if you will, than God. And when Adam died, God didn't die. But right now, spiritually, you are sealed in Jesus. And our challenge, and again, we'll continue on this tomorrow because I've got more to say about this verse, but our challenge is to bring into the soulish realm that which we have in the spirit. It's to bring alignment and allow our soul to be formed and shaped, not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Boom, Selah. Hey, I'm going to be back tomorrow with more on that. Again, I want to end that today by saying this. You are a new creation. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. You may not feel like a new creation, but you are. And I want to encourage you to proclaim that over your life today. Don't wait till you feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it, see it. Proclaim it by faith and allow the Holy Spirit. He who promises is faithful and he'll also do it. Hey, give that subscribe button a hit and the bell symbol. Drop me a line and check out the links below. Bye for now.